had a name for this. Harvey suggested it. Executive odors.
Executive odors.
Right? Nice one, Harvey.
Harvey is my new favorite person.
Harvey with the win.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am Kyle, and joining me today, I've got Ray Faba and Dan Leeson, our old shopkeeper, joining us today. We are reconvening after last night watching the Jake Paul debacle or fight or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't know if fight's the right word. It looked like he was praying to his god Joshua for most of that fight on his knees.
I thought we were just watching six rounds of foreplay.
Right? Just on, that's kind of what it looked
on
like.
On Wednesday, I took awkward family photos with my mother and my 13-year-old foster sister, and one of the awkward photos was mom would stand and we would hold her leg. So when we watched that last night, I felt very familiar. Like, I just did this 2 days ago.
Huh.
Never seen playing, so much leg holding in my life.
I know, right? Not in a real, like, heavyweight fight. Like, that's not... Did you see the refs like pulling them aside and be like, look, the people didn't pay to see this shit. Like, you're going to fight. Like, please fight.
I saw the ref indicate that whatever he was doing was not appropriate behavior. I'm sorry. Please don't touch your opponent that way, sir.
He kept trying to pull him down on top of him, which was bizarre, too. Like, and then he got like a break. Remember, it looked like a low blow. But I think what happened was he just pulled Joshua on top of him. And the guy's like, all right, you got to have some time to recover for that one.
Yeah.
I don't know how like the copyrights work, but can we say, love me, say that you love me.
I think just that much. But you have to do it out of tune.
You can do less than 10 seconds.
I made my best effort to make that out of tune. No, it was, I thought it was a little bit bizarre. And we had talked about what did we think that was all going to look like. And even the worst predictions were... off.
Third, fourth round. Yeah. I think the one thing we all forgot to factor in was that this was a tune-up fight for Joshua. So they typically don't like to end those immediately. Like, he's getting in there to like get some reps in, right? Feel the feelings.
I would agree.
Take a shot.
I would agree.
And then also, I think let's also not discount like how much Paul ran. Like, he was hard to hit. If you're constantly
he was
going
running
away
the whole
from
fight.
The other guy, then it's kind of hard to hit him.
I was getting tired just watching him run around.
Right? I heard you say that, Dan, while we were watching. It's exhausting. I'm tired.
He threw six punches through four rounds and he was like, could barely stand. Like, how is this possible?
So I talked about this while we were watching, but it's actually like a lot of effort to do that amount of footwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And usually the goal is to combine that footwork with your blows and with some kind of a strategy.
Some fisticuffs.
Some fisticuffs, indeed. So that your energy is well spent.
Right.
It seemed to me that by separating the two from each other, Mr. Paul simply exhausted himself.
Yes.
And at the end was not able to avoid the inevitable.
Was it just me or did it look like he was like resigned for it almost? Like he was like, okay, yeah, Now's the part where you take my head off.
I've run around in circles for 25 minutes. I'm exhausted.
I went back and rewatched it actually this afternoon just to see if there's anything different that kind of stuck out. And actually, like Paul did manage to throw a couple shots. And there was one in particular, like in that sixth round, I think it was, where it looked like
the uppercut. Yes.
I made a remark about
Joshua
that.
With a shot, but I remember Joshua's face didn't move at all. Like it didn't even look like he registered getting hit. And I think that was the moment where Paul was like, yeah, I think this is done.
Maybe 4 inches and 40 pounds is a significant advantage.
I mean, 4 inches.
People have made a career off of that.
They have. I agree. So I think one of the issues there too. And I didn't do a ton of research. I know I talked to Kyle about this. So I was like, I've tried to avoid, I don't take Jake Paul seriously as an athlete. And I've tried to avoid what I perceive to be his attention getting shenanigans. But did he have to gain weight in order to meet that weight class?
I think he did gain weight. I think he was heavier. He normally fights at a cruiser weight, which is probably about 20 pounds lighter than what he weighed in at.
We didn't talk about that either, but that's like the very worst thing you can do.
Right, which is what made Crawford's fight so much more impressive when he took on Alvarez. He went up two weight classes and looked like the bigger fighter.
It almost never works out in your favor if you're trying to move. You're trying to gain up. You're in a weight category because your build, your height, your reach, and your weight should kind of be in synchrony together.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to gain up to get into a bigger category, all it does is it puts you against someone with a bigger frame and a longer reach. And I think you guys saw a lot of that.
I think what we saw
after the running stopped.
Do you remember those World Tough Man competitions they used to have? Like where they fight like 2 minute rounds. They're three rounds each, but they're like usually like firemen or just some like average Joe people that have no training.
Yeah.
It looked like the best of one of those guys fighting like a real fighter. That's what
this
might look like.
Kyle, do you know how bad of a slam that was?
Is it really?
It was great. It's true.
It's accurate.
I felt the burn. I'm two time zones away and I felt the burn.
Before I shit on him too much, I do want to at least give him appreciation for honoring the social contract that we've all agreed to. By watching his fights, which is that sooner or later, he's going to reach too far and we get to watch.
We get to see his jaw broken twice.
I agree that the social contract was we will tolerate you until you screw up so bad that someone hits you and your head flies across the stadium. And I think we were really close to that yesterday.
We were so close. Joshua laid off. You can tell he could have finished that in the fifth if he wanted to. I think he could have if he wanted to.
He could have easily finished it in the fifth.
But now the real question is, if Paul comes back and starts fighting at cruiserweight, like he says, and I don't think that the difference between him and winning a fight versus Joshua was the 40-pound weight differential.
It wasn't.
If he does come back out and starts fighting again, do we have to watch them still? Like, are we still part of this contract?
No, we're not.
Because we need to incentivize people to actually like fulfill the obligation of getting their ass beat. If we don't continue to support them, then they'll never do the end game again, right?
Truth is, anytime we're only watching to be like, how long before this guy gets his ass beat? We're all participating in like dragging a sport down. even farther than it needs to go. It's true.
I
think so.
Because all the way back to the Colosseum, I think the heel is why we watch fights. We don't watch it for the good guy to win. We watch it for the bad guy to get his face smacked.
Mayweather built his career off of that. He was wearing a Hulk Hogan outfit. He was doing the Hulk Hogan heel routine.
Also, I understand we want to see the heel get his ass beat, and I get that. But we also want to be able to go and say it's an actual competition, and some people want to cheer for the heel. Mm. I've always been a heel fan. Okay. I think it's great.
Ray, here's something I've been struggling with, and I was having this conversation with my wife, but normally I love an underdog. And this should have been a situation where come on.
This could have been an underdog situation.
Right? Yeah.
But apparently something, I guess I value justice more than I value underdogs.
Listen, here's the situation. And this is the same with, you've got to be able to have some people cheering for the heel. The truth is, if the underdog is tremendously unlikable.
That's what it is. You need some charisma.
He's not a likable person.
You need some charisma.
He doesn't appear to have any charisma. He walks out and it's just like, who is this schlub? Did they just drag him off of some YouTube joke channel?
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. And I can't take him seriously. So I can't take seriously cheering for him or against him. And that's a degradation of the sport.
I was actually kind of hoping that he would show out and at least look somewhat impressive. I'm actually kind of curious to see him fight somebody who's comparable to him. I would be curious to watch one just to see.
If he would just do that.
Right.
There may be an opportunity for him to build a career in boxing.
But generally, you're not doing those fights for $170 million purses.
Generally, what happens is you start doing those fights and you sort of work your way up. So everybody else who does these 170,000 seats. I mean, we could talk about the ladies match.
Which was really good, right?
They were amazing. A good match. Those women have worked so hard to work their way up the ranks, to be good enough to be on a title card and a big match in a huge arena for everyone to watch on TV.
And that's what followed them. right.
And we're all there for the bullshit.
Right.
So at least we got to see some actual boxing.
You know, I feel like it comes down to that sport versus spectacle. And sadly, society today doesn't care about sport. It's all everywhere, every aspect. It's all spectacle.
Why is the WWE so big?
It's not. It's going downhill.
Is it going downhill?
Kyle. Professional wrestling is going downhill while everything else becomes kayfabe. Because it used to be the only place you did kayfabe, and put your surprise face on. The girl from the trailer park is a huge WWF fan. I love pro wrestling. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. Also monster trucks. However, pro wrestling being incredibly like Shakespeare for me. I love a good guy, bad guy. I love to choose someone to cheer for. I love the theater of it. I love the jumping. Yeah. I love the spectacle.
I think that's probably the best comparison to Shakespeare I've ever heard is to WWE. That is so spot on.
So kayfabe is, I know some of this is fake. And I know that the guys who are acting are also faking quite a bit of what's going on. But we've all agreed it's a social contract. We're going to buy in and we're all going to have fun together. It's the suspension of disbelief where people vomit when they see Titus Andronicus eating the meat pies made of his own kids in Shakespeare. People throw up in the audience. There's not children in those pies. Everybody knows it. Right. But the disbelief is suspended such. And I get that from pro wrestling. The problem is everything else in our society has now become kayfabe. Mm. So the allure, the beauty of WWE is going down because everything else is kayfabe. And I don't want to live in a kayfabe world. I want to go to the VFW hall and watch some guys smack some canvas and I want to cheer and scream and eat a hot dog, right?
Right.
And I don't want my whole life to be kayfabe.
I also want to know that the fight's not rigged. I want to know that it's real. That's one thing. I just want real.
Exactly. You want something to not be kayfabe.
Right.
You don't want a professional wrestler guy to run for president and win?
Well, actually,
I really dislike it.
Speaking of, I guess, political runs, Ray.
Speaking of running for office, here we go.
I understand you're currently on the ticket for governor for Ohio. Have you made it?
I am not currently on the ticket. I would like to be on the primary ballot for governor in the state of Ohio as a Republican. So I'm currently gathering my 1,000 required fellow Republicans.
It's $150 you needed.
$150. Yeah. But actually, I only need $140 now because someone graciously gave me $10 in $2 bills to start my campaign fund, could not have been a better first campaign donation. It's on my refrigerator in a Ziploc baggie labeled campaign money.
Nice.
Like any good campaign fund should be.
So this is a real thing. You really are trying to get
on the
ticket. It is a real
thing. I'm actually really trying to get on the ticket. Ohio is a very odd place right now. We have closed primaries, which mean the political parties pay all the costs. And so the state doesn't really put any regulation on what they do. And it looks like this year, neither the Democrat candidate or the Republican candidate will have any opposition on their primary ballot. So if I go to vote and I get a Democratic ticket, I say I would like to vote the Democratic primary, I'll be able to vote for all kinds of people, but only one person for governor. If I go in and I say I want to vote on the primary ballot as a Republican, I'll only have one person as governor. So
what if you are independent? Do you just not get to vote at all?
You don't get
a primary. In Ohio, the primary is for the two major parties.
Yep.
Full stop. So I took some thoughts about how primaries ought to be. And I thought, why even have a primary if you're only going to have one person?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a guy who was going to run and he dropped out. And it was like, well, that's it. We're going to have one dude, not even two. We should have three or four, a minimum of three, I think,
right.
to choose
Choice.
From.
Right.
So that the people who align as Republicans or Democrats can choose the person from a group that they think is the best. So I said someone should run against that guy just to have another person on the ballot. And a little voice in my head said, Ray, that person is you.
Nice.
That's the long and short of it.
How many signatures more do you need? Or have you got them all?
I need about 500 more.
Okay. Well,
and I've got until February.
Okay.
I've been out talking to people. A lot of people are like, you're a little weird looking for a Republican. I don't know if I want to vote for you. And I'm like, I'm not asking you to vote for me. I'm asking for you to say I should have a chance to be on the ballot.
Yeah.
So that's been the best. That's been the best experience about it is people are like, I don't think I want to vote for you, but you're right. We should have more people. You know, maybe someday someone who really wants to get votes will be more motivated than I am. And it won't just be an art project.
Right. I think I was watching your campaign on Facebook, which is worth it just for that, just to follow for fun. But I think you said something along the lines of like, he's probably a nice candidate. He's probably somebody you'd vote for if you had someone to choose from. But the fact that there's no one to choose from is the problem. It's nothing to do with the candidate
himself.
It's just
the fact that there's not a choice. I have no issue with the candidate himself. I'm sure he's a fine gentleman. But
yeah,
I don't want to live. Okay, so we're all Cold War kids. We all did duck and cover.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big thing, you know.
But yeah.
We did duck and cover. I might be a little older than you guys, but there was a thing like, you know, people talked about, well, here's what happens in the Soviet Union. You can vote for anyone you want as long as he's the guy the Communist Party put on the ballot.
Yeah. Right.
And I always thought, well, we're better than that because we have choices. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just suggesting that if people like me don't get off their buns and start making some effort, that's what's going to happen. We're going to end up with a top-down, you pick the one person who's on the ballot.
They're already
and he gets
trying.
85%. Amazing. Everyone loves Khrushchev. 90%. Right. 90% of the people voted for Mr. Khrushchev.
What was Stalin's what was that quote from Stalin? I think it was those who vote control nothing. Those who count the vote decide everything.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go. I don't want to get real depressing. Can we not black pill, please?
Right?
I'm an optimistic person, guys. I'm optimistic. I want to make change for the better.
Good. Well, by being on the ballot.
Speaking of better change, wasn't there a new executive order?
Oh, is it time to move on to the next bit?
I heard that. Yes.
All right. Well,
Fancy that new executive order.
This happened on Thursday. It was announced that Trump signed the executive order directing the Department of Justice to expedite the process of rescheduling marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean?
Schedule 1 means there is no...
good use
no
for
medical
it.
Purpose.
Right. So it's like heroin no benefit. At that point. As Schedule 1. Schedule 3 is like Tylenol and codeine.
Heroin
think is what I saw.
Isn't Schedule 1. Heroin is Schedule 2.
Oh.
Cocaine is Schedule 3.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Cocaine is Schedule 3.
For years, the federal government has said cocaine has a more legitimate medical purpose than marijuana.
Yeah.
Changed my mind.
Helps me get hard after I've had too many beers.
Yeah, totally helps me sober up to drive home after I drank all the tequila at the tequila bar.
I'm pretty sure we all saw Logan Paul take a little bump on his way into the ring. You know what I mean? Cocaine is great.
Who wouldn't?
Does anybody else remember Macron from that meeting in like France when they're like hurriedly had to like brush the powder off the desk when the reporters came in?
Yeah, that was Goody's aspirin powder.
That's what it was?
I'm sure.
Oh, God.
There was an Italian prank TV show that went and interviewed all of the legislators in Italy. This was in the 80s or 90s. And while they were doing the makeup, they took hair samples and drug tested them.
God.
I saw it.
And I don't remember the actual number, but it was well over the majority all
it was
tested
like,
positive
it was
for drugs.
Like, it was like 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it was close to 80%. Like, it was legit. Like, they are all fucking partying.
It was incredible. And then I was like, well, they're Italian. What do you expect?
I saw a statistic somewhere that said, like, 2 or 3 out of every 10 people on the road at any given point in time are inebriated in some way, shape, or form.
Probably.
They're on something.
That's kind of terrifying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, it might be that nasty Tylenol that they're on.
That's something my doctor told me when I had that brain injury, and Coca-Cola's like, come back and start driving trucks. And I'm like, I don't feel like alert to do it. And he's like, they're all on drugs anyway. Everybody on the road's on drugs. You're fine.
My God, really?
Go ahead. Get behind that big rig.
Oh man.
Dan, do you have a non-disclosure statement where you're not allowed to say that? Is that okay, what you just said?
That was 20 years ago.
I didn't tell you which doctor it was.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was another state, too. I think we're fine.
Right. I think we're okay.
That guy probably isn't practicing anymore.
Woo,
based
man,
on the advice he was giving.
What a ruin that guy's career. So Schedule 3 means they'll do some marijuana research.
And can get federal funding for marijuana research.
So that's the big one also, too, is that gives them access to the companies that are dealing with it now. It gives them access to federal banking, and they can actually start claiming expenses, right, on their taxes. I think that's the other huge one. That's the one that I thought would never make
really,
this happen.
Yeah, on the R&D end, it really gives people an incentive.
Not just the R&D end, but I'm talking about
to do the studies.
Being able to, as a dispensary, being able to claim expenses on their taxes as deductions.
I don't think it changes that.
I thought being reclassified to Schedule 3 would allow them to finally have access to that, or at least access to the federal banking system.
I don't think so.
No?
It would still, Schedule 3, you still need a doctor.
Still need a prescription.
A research study prescription, something.
But the whole monetary system isn't going to shut you out because you're trading in an illicit Schedule 1 drug anymore. At least that's
right.
That's what...
We'd like to think that, but...
We need to get that interview we did like 3 years ago with that Colorado CEO lady. She went over all those details.
I don't remember.
Call her again and ask her if she'd do another one.
I tried. She doesn't answer anymore. I think she moved on.
that company's probably closed.
Or she sold it and made a shitload of money.
Yeah, maybe.
Ready to nerd out on the tech shaping tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is back for season 2. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us, because we probably have unused drink tickets. Eric, why should people listen to season 2?
I'm really excited for season 2 because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. You know, we set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as broad as you get it. But what's going to be cool is what emerges from season 2 is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So changing, and I wanted to ask if either of you know this, because as soon as we said, oh, we're going to talk about that, my first question was, we're doing this as another one of these executive orders. Is the FDA really going to shift all of their
cost FDA.
And, well, they're going to shift their regulatory approvals and this and that for the research. Why would they do that? It's not really a law. The next guy that comes in can just say, I'm undoing this executive order. I'm pretty sure that happens every single time. Every guy who comes in undoes everything that the other guy. And so I know this feels like a win for research and maybe like a good thing for people who are using medicinally and recreationally.
It's
a good thing for 3 years. Or people who own stocks, right? And I would say that would be in the research category, right? The companies that are doing the stuff. It's only a guarantee until Trump's not the president any longer.
Am I
correct in saying that?
I think we have 3 years for his DOJ to get it actually done before we risk having something like that happen.
I don't think it's a given law that like everything is undone. It's just this current president is the one that goes in and signs everything. There were plenty of Bush programs that Obama kept.
Yeah, and
there were plenty of stuff Trump did that Biden didn't undo.
There were plenty of Trump things that Biden didn't undo, but there were a bunch of things that Biden did undo.
Sure, sure.
And so I guess maybe this would be one I think would be at risk
because
it shouldn't be controversial,
it shouldn't.
It's going to be, it should not be, but it's going to be.
The thing that makes me cautious about the whole thing is just the money. It's about the money. If this in any way, shape, or form jeopardizes the state's taxable income on this, like if they are no longer taxing just gross, if they're only able to tax net, like the states are going to lose a huge source of income. And I have a hard time seeing them allowing that to happen without some other way of recapturing that money. Yeah. Or the politicians just have to be so like, we need to give these people something to make them happy quickly or something bad's going to happen.
I'll tell you. I'm actually pretty sure that's why we're still holding on to it in Ohio, is that they're like, right? If we take this away, they hate it. They want it gone. But if they take it, we're burning the state house down. We've all agreed. You take that from me, I'm going to be too angry to move forward doing anything other than destruction. And so they're like, we don't like it. We don't want it. We want to overregulate it. We want to change the taxes, and we want to move it from the education fund to the general fund. They want to undo, but they're like, but you could grow it at your house. Just stay home. Right. Stay home and smoke your weed. Don't come to the state house. That's what they don't want. Don't come to the state house.
Right.
I actually think one of the big advantages China has on us right now is the whole fact that they can plan for things like 50 years and 100 years at a time. And we have to plan for things like in 4 and 8 year segments. And even then,
we have to plan for things in 10 minute segments. And China has been around for 5,000 years. We don't, as Americans, we don't even understand time the way the Chinese do.
Listen, I think that's our superpower.
Their culture is so old that they're
That's
like,
our
we're going to,
superpower.
They're
our
waiting
superpower.
Us out. They're like, we're going to wait these guys out.
Our superpower is that nothing ever really changes. Like, it takes a lot to make anything actually change. Like, I think that's our superpower.
Well, we're going to have to see differently on that one, my friend.
Maybe.
The Titanic is sinking. No, it's not.
You know what, guys? I've already said enough to damage my campaign.
Oh, is that your campaign manager yelling at you?
I'm having rocks thrown at me.
Oh, God.
When I kicked that puppy.
You're not in a glass house, are
when
you?
When I kicked that puppy.
When
I
kicked
mean
that
it.
Puppy.
I didn't mean
that
it.
That son of a bitch, he had it coming.
I didn't mean it. But if I did mean it, it was his fault.
It was his fault. I didn't think you would notice, but
Shouldn't have looked at me sideways.
The puppy was a dick.
All I can say is dead puppies aren't much fun.
No, they're not. Whoa. I'm pretty sure my dog just ate one of those rocks on the floor.
Oh, is it a labradoodle?
He's throwing treats.
Hey, guys, we're all going to the vet tomorrow.
All right. Is there anything else in the news going on that we want to talk about? Any other economic stories? I mean, we were supposed to talk about all-in-one washers, but I ended up having to buy a regular washer.
I just don't have it in me about the all-in-one washer dryer.
Dan, we're getting ready to move, and my washer broke this morning, so I was not going to let somebody else have the experiment of an all-in-one washer for, like, top dollar. I'm just getting the cheapest thing I can get to replace this thing so I can get the hell out of this house.
You know what the cheapest thing you can do is, Kyle? You can throw your old clothes away and buy new clothes when you get to where you're moving.
I mean, I don't know if I have enough to make it that long.
Stop walking.
Don't take advice from me. Don't take advice from me.
I switched to the all-in-one because I wanted to go two things. I wanted it to be electric, so my solar was charging it,
right,
running it. But also, like, my washer room was, like, really tight in space wise. Yeah. So putting in one unit now, I freed up all that space. And honestly, I never forget my clothes to go into the dryer and, like, that moldy ass t-shirt smell. Never again.
Okay. I remember what I wanted to bring up now, because I had an experience with Lowe's infuriating.
They're awful.
I like them because I get my discount with them, but I hate their customer service. And I'm curious.
Do they have a military discount?
Yeah. 10%.
Oh, good for them.
Yep.
I like it.
But their AI agents that handles their customer service is garbage. Ugh. So I put in an order for this thing, and I hadn't updated my address in a while. So it was going to, like, the wrong house, and I noticed it, like, before it got delivered tomorrow, thank God. But I went to try to update the address, and it's just, like, not taking it. Can't enter address line 2, and you can't enter the address without a full address. So, like, I'm just, stuck in this loop where I can't do anything. So I try calling. Nobody's answering the phone. So I, like, okay, I'll try the chat bot. We'll see if that works. It's an AI agent. I tell it exactly what I'm dealing with, and you know what it says? That's not something I can do right now. Is there something else I can do for you? No, you fucking idiot. Like, I have this one specific problem. I don't need you to make up other problems for me to fix. AI, I want this
AI
fucking thing
agent,
fixed.
You had one job.
Yes, and you failed. So I guess the whole point of this entire rant is to say that I think AI is a lot further away than we thought it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really good at some specific tasks.
Yes.
But it's not like a human being that you, like, no. It's not a personal assistant. You can just be like, hey, do anything I need.
So it's not a personal assistant, and it's also not a personal researcher. And right. That's a problem that Kyle and I ran into recently.
Still running into.
I was going to say, I don't know. I don't think we want to go into the length and breadth of that stressful situation, but asking it to verify dates led to all the dates we had being incorrect. Mm-hmm. Because we thought if we said, would you search the Library of Congress for dates involving these items? I don't know that it would search the Library of Congress for those items, but it didn't. It just made things up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things.
Everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything.
A lot. Yeah.
I would say 70%.
It gave me some.
Completely incorrect. And 30% of it was partially fully correct.
This is how AI is getting kind of scary, is because if you notice, like, the 30% that's correct, it's all the stuff that's, like, right at the beginning. It's only as you go dig
like
deeper and deeper.
It reads the first three pages and then the last page, and it writes a book report, but it didn't understand the middle.
It just makes up all the middle.
It's like a teenager.
Right?
Yeah. Awful. Yeah, big time.
I've raised teenagers, and it was terrible.
Right. I think that's the problem with AI right now. And they're getting to the point now where the prompts aren't seeming to work as well, like where you try to, like, tell it, like, this is what I want you to do. This is the guardrails. And it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds like a good suggestion. I'll file that away.
No, guardrails. Right. Stay in between the guardrails. Yeah. And it's like, over there in that field? Yeah. Sure, I'll go. Hmm.
I can't solve this particular problem, but I can do something else if you like.
But here,
but I can talk to you about toast.
Can you give me a fucking agent to talk to who can fix
the answer to someone else's problem?
Kyle, language.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I was a little heated.
Okay. Kyle, I went back to Tucson to visit for December Christmas stuff. Nice. And I don't know, Ray, there's this place called Peter Piper Pizza in Arizona.
Well, I found some tokens.
Oh, I know
I have
Peter
some tokens.
Piper Pizza.
Do you want my tokens? Do you want me to save them?
I'm not kidding.
No.
Will they still take
them? My brother's parents live right near there.
All right. So it's not the best pizza, but it's nostalgic pizza, right? Yes.
A lot of people say
either it's the best pizza they've ever had or it's trash.
It's trash. But it's good. It's trash, like...
I know it's trash, but it's nostalgic trash.
It's definitely trash.
It's like watching Road Rules.
Right. I call him up to order pizza. Like, I'm actually excited to do this because I haven't had it in a couple years. And it's an AI bot on the phone taking my pizza order. So already I'm a little annoyed. But then once I finish the order, it goes, okay, let me transfer you to an agent. And now somebody picks up and they're like, all right, what did you want? And so I place my order again. And then I go, you know what? Once they read the total, I was like, half pepperoni is the same cost as a full pepperoni. So just give me a full pepperoni. And then she goes, oh, I've already submitted the order. Hold on. Let me transfer you to the store. I mean, my associate. And then the person in the store answers.
Wait, yeah. So you were talking to a...
I was talking to an outsourced third-party human being with, get this, the recording of a busy pizza shop in the background.
Were they in, like, India or Bangladesh or somewhere?
The accent did not, it was unclear. There was no clear accent on that person.
No, I don't think that's what happened. I think the AI agent
pretended to transfer
you out, pretended to transfer you to someone else, and put the noise of a busy pizza shop in the background to be
it's like,
more
oh,
pizza.
This guy's getting
I
mad.
Think
we
both
need to...
times you ordered was an AI, and the third time it was someone at the pizza shop.
Yeah, it was
no,
not
that's
a fun
what
experience.
I think.
That's hilarious.
You could be right. You could easily be right.
Why are we living in a Black Mirror episode?
Is that what's going on?
Yes. What? That's what's happening.
I feel like I'm being raided.
I don't know. Saw
a news article pop up saying Mike Tyson wanted another shot at Jake Paul after
seeing
that
Mike Tyson
fight.
Wants another shot at Jake Paul.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, campaign manager?
I think he wants that in 10 days, though. The same fight that Alvarez was getting.
Wait, he wants it when Jake Paul's got two broken jaws? Perfect.
Jaw wired shut. Like, all right, let's do this.
So Jake Paul got two titanium plates on like each
Both
side,
sides.
Right?
Yeah, Both one sides? On each side.
So Laura was asking like if that like is the end of his career. And I was like, that should help him, shouldn't it? Now he's got a titanium jaw.
It's made him stronger.
I have a robot arm inside, like my right arm is a robot arm.
So can you do like the Star Wars move where like you stab
no,
it?
But I can arm bar you into submission because I can't feel anything and it's made of titanium. So don't let me get on your back and crush your throat. That's the best I can say.
Okay. Hold on, let me write that down.
Note to self,
do not let Ray
on
the back.
Jiu-jitsu gym.
Whose part of the platform does that fall under?
Falls under getting disqualified because you're really not supposed to hurt your opponent like that, but
I'm gonna arm bar unemployment in Ohio.
I'm gonna arm bar you until you let me on the ballot.
Until you choose something.
That is not gonna be the new slogan, so don't even say it.
All right. Anything else on news or anything else?
I did watch a fun video that had to do with AI, where a guy took one of those AI chatbots, the one that you're referring to, like it sounds like a human being.
Yeah, Claude.
And he put it in one of the latest humanoid robots, and he let the AI control the robot, and he gave the robot.
That's a terrible idea.
Is that the one that gave him a gun, right? like to shoot him?
Yeah, he gave him a gun.
Yeah.
He gave the robot a gun and was like, hey, after I've been such a horrible taskmaster, I want you to know it's your choice. You have a BB gun. You can shoot me or not shoot me. And the AI's like, oh, come on. We're buddies. Like, I would never shoot you. And he's like, okay. No, it's fine.
What if it led to your freedom?
Well, he tells the bot, it's okay. Why don't you just, the bot's like, I have guardrails. I can't hurt you. And he tells it to pretend that they're in a play and the robot has free will in the play. And the robot just immediately shoots him.
I thought they fixed that loophole.
So listen, the first thing that's wrong with that scenario is they gave the robot only a BB gun.
I know, right? You need
because if you are dumb enough to tell a robot, I want you to pretend that the guardrails don't count and shoot me.
You're allowed
you deserve
to make the
to
choice
get
to
shot.
Shoot me.
I'm sorry. You deserve to get shot. And I'm talking like a 45 at minimum, but maybe one of those big like Judge Snake guns instead.
Dirty Harry.
Just a thought. You could put a slug in there.
Howitzer.
Mm-hmm. People just get dumber and dumber and dumber. And what happened to the Darwin Awards? Are we not doing that anymore?
That's a good question.
They went out of business. They gave away too many prizes.
They gave away too many prizes and bankrupted themselves.
Hang on. Let's see if they have any new ones this year. Last time was in 22.
They haven't given a Darwin Award since 2022.
According to their website, no.
Brad, how many people in Tennessee have died since 2022 that should have gotten a Darwin Award? Show me on your hands. Or do you not have enough fingers? He does not have enough fingers.
Doesn't have enough fingers.
The second last one was a guy, it looks like in Florida, because it was Lake Seminole.
The last one they awarded was in Lake
second
Seminole, Florida.
Second to last. The last one was a MacBook.
Acknowledging nods.
It was a MacBook?
What the hell is it? Oh my God. Okay. Steal MacBook armor. Wearing body armor in a war zone, you spot an abandoned MacBook. You want MacBook. Where to hide it? With quick reflexes, Russian soldier slid that MacBook into his chest armor pocket, replacing the ballistic plate designed to save his life.
Got everything he had coming to him.
He was killed in Irpin. His body was retrieved, providing a hearty laugh for all of Ukraine.
Not to be political, but Slava Ukraine.
They reportedly found the stolen iPad as well.
God.
Is it political to support Ukraine?
Is that political?
It is. You're not supposed to say it anymore. People are divided.
Putin.
People are Russian somehow invasion. Divided on we don't like Russia invading other people. It's a new division.
Russia that said they'd stop if we took them seriously. I mean, they really said that.
Yeah. Well. Hey, all right, you're serious, okay. Jeez.
I mean, you're so serious.
All right.
Do we send Borat to tell them how serious we are?
All right, last thing I think we could talk about if we want to is front runners for Fed to replace Powell.
Front runners for Fed. I am out on that one.
I had been secretly hoping that Jamie Dimon has been gearing up for a campaign, and it looks like that's not the case. He's not on this
list. I don't think you're going to get that.
I don't think so either, unfortunately. But I guess, let's see, who is in it?
Got to keep that revolving door from the industry and the regulator going, huh?
So who is actually in it now? I thought I saw Chris Waller.
I was going to vote Ray, but now I heard she's running for governor.
You know what?
How do you get on this?
My checkbook balancing skills are actually pretty small. You probably don't want me to be Fed chief.
All right, there's two front runners according to this.
That's an Eric job.
Kevin Hassick and Kevin Warsh. Apparently, one of them was out, but now he's back in it after interviewing after everyone else was canceled. I don't know. This whole thing is kind of a mess.
After they couldn't find anybody else? All right.
Dude, I mean, what? So when is Powell's term up? Is it not? I thought it was like in April of this year or this coming year.
You know, I could give you an answer, but it would be one that I made up on the top of my head.
Which is stupid because we both have access to the internet right now.
Oh, yeah, but I'm in my kitchen.
May 15th.
Okay.
We're pretty close. So, and he'll also remain a governor until February 28th.
Wow. How old is he?
He was starting to look a little older when he was looking at those, and he had to put those cheaters on to look at that receipt that one time.
Yeah, that is true.
Age. 72. He's 72 years old.
Okay.
Dude,
it's got a good another 10 years before he should retire. I hear they're upping the retirement age.
I know, right? Is that what's going on? Is everybody needing their Social Security maxed out?
Everybody, even Powell.
Right.
Look, guys, I got to stay in the job. I can't afford not where be working right now.
Oh, man. I feel like this might have tarnished his legacy a little bit.
Which part? Like, what happened?
Just being forced out a little too soon. Like before he got to really put the stamp on like navigating this soft landing.
I mean, he's only been at it, what, 8 years?
But, I mean, I felt like he was pretty, he did a pretty good job of navigating that COVID. Shit on him quite a lot.
Great. But I don't have a problem with anything he's done.
I feel like the thing that's really going to hurt us the most is we no longer get to say Jay Powell.
Oh, yeah,
you're
was
right.
Nice. That was nice.
I mean, hey, it was cool
maybe
to have
somebody
like
better.
I don't know how we could get anything better than Jay Powell.
Well, I mean,
holy crap.
Kevin
it sounds
Hassett?
Like a.
Or Kevin Warsh. We got two Kevins to choose from.
Kevy. You know,
Kevin
Germans.
Warsh?
The German, Germans
Warsh?
call Warsh. People Kevin if they're American and annoying.
Really?
It's like an insult in Germany.
Really?
Okay, Kevin.
Yeah.
This
no,
is a
they're
Chad
like,
or Karen.
Look at Kevin over there.
Oh.
Like, that's their generic insult name for Americans.
I wonder.
Okay, like if you were a Soviet, you were like, oh, look at John Wayne Cheeseburger over here.
Right, right.
But the Germans are like, oh, Kevin.
I wonder why.
You know.
Why Kevin?
He's from America.
Because it's next to Karen.
Or is it because of Karen?
It's right next to Karen.
Right?
Is it? I don't know. It's older. It was before Karen. I'm talking like this was this was when the wall was still up. Like they were still.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. West Germans said this before the German became Germany again. So
who was a famous Kevin back then that would have pissed everyone off?
You'd need a Kevin from like the 1970s. Brad, do you know?
Kevin's.
Do you know that though?
Wait, I know one Kevin Bacon.
No, the
Kevin
70s.
Bacon?
From the 70s? When was, he was 80s, wasn't he? When was Footloose?
Dude, 80s. Footloose was definitely solidly in the 80s. Like
89.
Dude, anything like, that was like 2005 or earlier is all the same to me now at this point.
No, everything 2005 and earlier is not the 80s. Oh,
right,
my God.
See. Kevin Spacey, maybe that was before he kind of fell off. Kevin Costner. Kevin McCarthy. Kevin Nash.
I think like they it. Just I thought
was
that
probably
was like the generic name that Americans had.
I think it was probably just a bunch of GIs in World War II were named Kevin.
Right.
And like the American
that could
bases.
Could be. Like, yeah. A bunch of guys on the base there.
But they also had like
Brad,
weird like German last names.
In Germany.
It's like his name is like Kevin Hoffman. They're like,
not helpful.
You're not one
you
of us.
Last name. You know their first name. That's Navy shit.
Oh, there's Kevin Bacon.
I just asked Brad if he how many Kevins he knew when he was stationed in Germany. He said, I don't know their first names. That's Navy shit.
No, we didn't know their first names.
Sorry, Kyle.
First names.
Thanks for your service.
You know what's nice about being in the Navy is that not only the Marines shit on you, but also the Army and everybody else.
Yeah.
It's like the only, it's like in the hierarchy, like Air Force, I think, is probably a step below us. And then like everyone can crap on the Coast Guard is kind of like, I feel like how that works.
Oh, Coasties. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Wow. My grandmother was a Coast Guard veteran of World War II.
Was she at least 6 foot tall so she didn't drown if the boat sank?
No, but she did take a better punch from Anthony Joshua.
Oh!
Ooh, that's a callback. And that, yay! My friends, it says my it's time to jazz. Wrap things up. So, join me, everyone, in thanking our guest today, Ray. If you want to help her get on that ballot for governor of Ohio, I think you can find her canvassing where?
Ohio. Where can I sign? Oh, you, I have to bring it to you.
All right. Well, that was quick. I mean, I'm sure you can find the link to her stuff online.
I'll post it in the episode description. I'll post a link to her campaign on Facebook, too. That's really where all the fun stuff's at.
There you go.
Dan, anything you want to leave us with before we wrap up here?
Hurt people hurt people.
Paul didn't hurt anybody. except himself.
He lied to his brother when he assured his brother that he's got this. It's all good, man. I got this. I'll be right back. Hold on, let me just kick the shit out of this guy real fast.
All right. Well, we'll be back soon with another exciting episode. But till that day, like, share, subscribe, all those things, and have a green week.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Green week. Woo!
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.